This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa in yamsaska Allahu bidurrin fala kashifa lahu illa hu. Wa in yamsaska bikhairin fa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته everybody. Another episode of Counsel and Healing today inshallah. What I wanted to talk to you about today is the 17th ayah of Surah Al-An'am. Any of you that would like to develop a deep beautiful connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-An'am is one of those very spiritual surahs that are just focused on developing that bond, you getting to understand, me getting to understand our Rabb better and developing that connection with Him. So it's really focused on Allah Azza wa Jal. So one of the things that Allah mentions in the surah, talking to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is what I'm trying to capture here and make some observations about from the 17th ayah of Surah Al-An'am. Let me give you a rough translation first, and you notice that I've done this in multiple colors because there are similar patterns here in the ayah. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرِّنْ, the white portion, if Allah were to touch you, allow for you to be touched by any harm whatsoever, any kind of harm. And then the other white portion is وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ, and if He were to allow you to be touched with any kind of good. So if Allah allowed any harm to come to you, if Allah allowed any good to come to you, those are the white portions, right? So let's go back to that white portion. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ, then there is no one to alleviate that for that person except He Himself. So a person, so that difficulty, that harm shall not be removed except by Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's the only one who can remove it. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ, and if He were to touch you with any good at all, فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, then He is absolutely in complete control over all things. So some really beautiful things inside of this ayah. The first thing to note here is the word for harm here, dhur. And the word for good here is khair. And actually the opposite of khair is shar. So there's the Arabic word shar over here, which is the opposite, the antonym of khair. So you expect, إِيَّمْ سَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِشَرٍ فَلَكَ شِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ وَإِيَّمْ سَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ, because shar and khair are opposites of each other, right? So they should be contrasting. But if you're going to use dhur, or it's similar word, dhar, then بِخَيْر should be replaced with نَفْعَ, which means benefit. نَفْعٌ. So if the expected contrast, either if you stick with dhur, then you say وَإِيَّمْ سَسْكَ بِنَفْعٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So what Allah did is He took one word, but didn't use its antonym, or the other, and He didn't use its antonym. So there's a cross connection here that's going on. It's called ihtibak in balagha studies, in language studies. So let's make it as simple as possible. So there's multiple words for harm. So dhur is one of the words for bodily harm, financial harm, real material harm. And shar is another word for harm, and also it includes evil, actually. Wrongdoing is also shar, but also includes the meanings of harm. So shar is actually a more comprehensive word for harm. So when Allah talked about harm, He used a more limited word. So the notes here on this word would be, it's more limited, and this is more broad. That's the difference, right? So in the mercy of Allah is, even when Allah allows for some harm to touch you in this ayah, He's saying that harm is going to be limited, right? So it's so beautiful that he did that. And then He says, no one can alleviate even that limited harm from you except He. And then He says, and even if some good touched you, but the word nafa actually means profit. It also means benefit, right? And that's one kind of good. Profit and benefit is one kind of good. But khayr is actually goodness at large. It also means something better, actually. Something better, because it's actually from the innocent tafdeel. So if Allah were to touch you with something better, by using this word, when Allah talked about doing good, He broadened the scope of goodness. Like, Allah's mercy is dominant in this ayah when it comes to us being touched with some kind of good. And it's also commenting on my state of mind, I think of nafa as the only kind of good. I have a limited imagination, so when business is going well, things are good. When the body is doing well, things are good. When food is cooked well, things are good. So nafa, in my mind, is associated with goodness. And but Allah is saying that there are forms of goodness that are far bigger than nafa, that are far bigger than what I can see and perceive and calculate. And He will touch you with goodness that is maybe seen and maybe even unseen. In the life of the Prophet ﷺ, let's apply this to when this ayah was given. It was given to the Prophet ﷺ when he was in Mecca struggling with the Quraysh. When he's making da'wah, you would think that the seen benefit is somebody accepted Islam. That's the seen benefit. Okay, one more person took shahada, another person took shahada, another person took shahada. So the more people that accept Islam, the more benefit there is to the cause, and that's how you can tangibly tell that good is happening. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is even telling the Prophet ﷺ that there's a good happening already. Plants are being, or seeds are being planted in the minds of people right now that might come to fruition after the Battle of Badr, after Hijrah, or maybe even at the conquest of Makkah. You don't know the khayr that's happening right now. You don't know the impact of it. You human beings can only gauge nafa, but you can't gauge khayr, right? So he put khayr in the more broad category. But then the other remarkable thing in this ayah, the parts that are yellow. Now look at this. فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ. No one can alleviate or remove that difficulty, that tangible harm from you except He, right? Except He. And what's also beautiful about Dhuhr is Allah is also telling us in this ayah, He's not harming us in unseen kinds of ways, right? The harm is tangible, but the goodness is far more intangible. It's far bigger, you know? So even when we're going through difficulty, the difficulty is always limited, and the good that Allah is giving us is way bigger than any difficulty that we're going through, even though we can't see it. So it's really beautifully embedded in there. But then the expected response to the first shart, this conditional statement, if Allah were to touch you with any harm, then there's no one to alleviate. If Allah were to touch you with any good, then no one can stop it. فَلَا رَادَّ لَهُ إِلَّهُ فَلَا مَانِعَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ. Then there's no one to prevent it except Him. No one can stop the good from coming to you except Him. But He didn't say that. He did, this last portion, فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, is not فَلَا مَانِعَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ. So it doesn't actually correspond directly with this. Like, these two are contrasting with each other. So what scholars of language say here is that what Allah did is the second part, no one can stop it except Him, was not stated. That was not stated. Because Allah wants you to know that without even it having to be said. That you have to internalize this without Allah even saying it to you. It's understood that no harm can come to you. And when harm comes, no one can get rid of it except Allah. And when good comes, and any kind of good comes, then no human being, no creation of Allah, no curse, no spell, no witchcraft, no nothing, nothing can take, no scheming of any human being can take the good away from you that Allah has planned. Like, think of it this way. Sometimes, you know, people say, you know, this is my own personal experience. When I was, you know, first started Bayina and teaching Arabic and things like that, some of my students would get really worked up. You know, Ustad, you know what? This other community, they started their own Arabic program, and they've got a really big center, and they've got, like, you know, amazing teachers. And did you hear about it? And they look really anxious. Like, and I'm like, I'm happy they're doing it. Why? But aren't you worried? You know, some of our students might leave and go. I was like, well, if they go there, then that must mean they're going to get more of a better education. If Allah has planned that good should spread by way of more institutions, more efforts, more projects, none of that should I ever think, or you ever think, is going to take away from our rizq, right? You're running a restaurant, somebody else opened up a restaurant, you cannot say, well, they're going to take my customers. The customers that were written for you are written for you. And you think, unless I destroy that guy's restaurant and make fake evil reviews about finding cockroaches in his pizza, until then, my restaurant's not going to succeed, then you don't understand why يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. If any good is coming to you, no one can stop it. No one can stop that good from coming your way. But then, the conclusion, فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, is actually speaking for the entire ayah. It's not speaking to the second, it's actually speaking to the whole, the lesson at large. And that is what? That Allah is in complete control over everything. In other words, Allah is taking this statement at the end, everybody knows that. Everybody believes that Allah is in complete control over everything. Allah's got everything measured and calculated. But now Allah is saying, if you understood this, then both of these scenarios would be internalized in your mind. Like next time you think of huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, you think of this as a conclusion of in yamsaskallahu bidurrin, in yamsaskallahu bikhayrin. Because now when you say Allah is in complete control, you're not just thinking of Allah running the universe and the skies and the earth and Allah, you know, controlling the bees and controlling the winds and the clouds, but you're thinking about Allah being completely capable of preventing any harm from coming to you or any good from being stopped from you, or if you are in a difficulty, that anyone other than Allah would be the one to get that away from you. You know, sometimes we go through difficulty, I go through difficulty, and I start making a plan to get myself out of that difficulty, and that plan is against the word of Allah. I say, I know the word of Allah says this, but I'm in a real jam right now. I gotta look out for myself, right? So I gotta look out for number one, I gotta take care of myself. And so we make a plan that ignores the word of Allah. And that's when we forget this. If you're in trouble, and if Allah created a situation in which you're going through some kind of loss or harm or difficulty, then the shaitan will come to me and you, and he will want us to find a solution somewhere else, some other solution. Because Allah is too rigid, ma'adallah, or Allah's word is too harsh, or no, that applies in general situations. I got a special situation. My situation is different. That's why the word of Allah doesn't apply to me. So everybody starts thinking they got a special situation. Right? So, but the word of Allah is actually the relief. When he says no one can give relief except him, turn to him, seek his guidance, ask for his, you know, see what he has to say about a matter. What should be the right approach? What should I do? You know, I'll give you one example and I'll let you go. So if you're in a difficult situation and the thing you have two choices. You can either come clean and, you know, tell someone what wrong you did. Right, you could tell your wife what wrong you did, your husband, your father, your mother, brother, business partner. You did something, you messed up somewhere, and you're like, but if I tell them, they're going to be really upset with me. They're going to get really angry, right? And then they're going to hate me, and or they won't respect me anymore, or something, right? So you're thinking a million times before coming out with how you made a mistake, right? And then you turn to Allah's word and say, well, you know, I want to prevent those problems, so I'll continue to lie or continue to suppress the truth or continue to just kind of pretend it never happened instead of taking responsibility, right? And then you turn to Allah's word. And he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Those of you who have iman, be mindful of Allah and say the straightforward, upright thing. And when you do, all your deeds will be straightened out, will be reformed. You know, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and he will cover your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger has attained an enormous success. In other words, say the right thing. I know it's going to be hard, but trust me, that's the only way to succeed. Everything else will be lost. Even if you got out of trouble with a human being or in this world in some way, that's still a loss because you didn't follow Allah's word. And that secrecy or that not coming forward and not being truthful, maybe because of it, you were thinking that's your kashif, right? That's the way you alleviated yourself. But Allah is saying, la kashifa, it's la nafiya lil jins. There's absolutely no alleviation from that harm except from him. In other words, your cover-up or your and my desire to find some other, you know, crooked solution is going to create a series of new problems. And we're going to create problem on top of problem on top of problem on top of problem and not realize the only real way to alleviate those problems is فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. And then when we think if we do the right thing, harm will come our way and the good will stop coming. Now look at the rest of the ayah. إِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ. And if Allah were to bring some good towards you, nobody can stop it. That's not even a thought you should entertain. فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He's in complete control over all things. So may Allah help us internalize these powerful ayat that are actually a way of living. This, if somebody internalizes this, the way they deal with their life situations completely changes. And I pray that these kinds of ayat become a source of strength and healing and really meaningful, practical counsel for us in all of our lives. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.